Good morning. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 26. And as an announcement, tomorrow I'm not going to be teaching like we normally do. We're actually going to have a guest speaker. It's Kenneth Bay will be here, and he's going to share probably more of a message that's going to kind of interlace with his testimony. And if you know Kenneth Bay, he spent almost 2 years, actually over 2 years, in a North Korean prison, a labor camp. And so he's been in Hong Kong sharing, and had to spend some time with him yesterday. An incredible man of God and an incredible story that's actually quite encouraging for us. So that's tomorrow at 7. So we'll have a little different kind of EMP during that time, okay? All right, 1 Samuel 26. Then the Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Is not David hiding on the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshimon?" So Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having with him 3,000 chosen men of Israel, to search for David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul camped in the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshimon, beside the road. And David was staying in the wilderness, where he saw and when he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness, David sent out spies, and he knew that Saul was definitely coming. David then arose and came to the place where Saul had camped, and David saw the place where Saul lay. And Abner, the son of Ner, the commander of his army, and Saul was lying in the circle of the camp, and the people were camped around him. Then David answered and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, saying, "Who will go down with me to Saul in the camp?" And Abishai said, "I will go down with you." So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping inside the circle of the camp, and his spear stuck in the ground at his head, and Abner and the people were lying around him. Then Abishai said to David, "Today God has delivered your enemy into your hand. Now therefore, please let me strike him with the spear to the ground with one stroke, and I will not strike him the second time." But David said to Abishai, "Do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be without guilt?" David also said, "As the Lord lives, surely the Lord will strike him, or his day will come and that he dies, or he will go down into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed, but now please take the spear that is at his head and the jug of water and let us go." So David took the spear and the jug of water from beside Saul's head, and they went away, but no one saw or knew it, nor did any awake, for they were all asleep, because a sound sleep from the Lord had fallen on them. Then David crossed over to the other side and stood on top of the mountain at a distance with a large area between them. And David called to the people and to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, "Will you not answer, Abner?" Then Abner answered and said, "Who are you who calls to the king?" So David said to Abner, "Are you not a man? And who is like you in Israel? Why then have you not guarded your lord, the king? For one of the people came to destroy the king, your lord. This thing that you have done is not good. As the Lord lives, all of you must surely die, because you did not guard your lord, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is and the jug of water that was at his head." Then Saul recognized David's voice and said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" David said, "It is my voice, my lord the king." He also said, "Why then is my lord pursuing his servant? What have I done? Or what evil is in my hand? Now therefore, please let my lord the king listen to the words of his servant. If the Lord has stirred you up against me, let him accept an offering. But if it is men, cursed are they before the Lord, for they have driven me out today, that I should have no attachment with the inheritance of the Lord, saying, 'Go serve other gods.' Now then, do not let my blood fall to the ground away from the presence of the Lord, for the king of Israel has come out to search for a single flea, just as one hunts a partridge in the mountains." Then Saul said, "I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will not harm you again, because my life was precious in your sight this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have committed a serious error." And David answered and said, "Behold, the spear of the king. Now let one of the young men come over and take it. The Lord will repay each man for his righteousness and for his faithfulness, for the Lord delivered you into my hand today. But I refuse to stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. Now behold, as your life was highly valued in my sight this day, so may my life be highly valued in the sight of the Lord, and may he deliver me from all distress." Then Saul said to David, "Blessed are you, my son David. You have both accomplished much and surely prevail." So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. Amen. So chapter 26 is actually a retelling or of chapter 23 If you remember, after David battles for the Keilites and wins that battle, and then the Ziphites come and grab Saul again. Saul, remember, is about to attack, but he gets a warning that the Philistines have invaded, so he leaves David, and he goes and fights the Philistines. And so now we go back to this, and we see the treachery of the Ziphites. And for whatever reason, maybe to curry favor with King Saul or whatever the case may be, they come to him again. And so to get an idea of landscape, the valley of Ziph, where they're at, is very low. It's the desert. The word Jeshimon just simply means desert. And so they're down below. The Ziphites are looking right above, so they could see David wandering their land. And then where Saul is even higher, so because he says he came down to where the Ziphites are, to the valley of Ziph. And so, you know, he's in there. Remember, he's in Judah. He's in their proximity. And so the Ziphites tell Saul again. He comes down. Now, David, when he hears of it, he doesn't believe it. Because if you remember what happened just before that, remember, Saul wept when David cut off, and remember, he went into the cave, and he cut off a piece of his robe, his blanket, and so he wept bitterly, he repented, and so it seemed like that episode was done. But sure enough, it comes back again. And so when David first hears about it, he actually doesn't believe it at all. That's why he sends the spies out. And he says, are you sure Saul is coming? And are you sure Saul is actually coming for me with 3,000 choice men, warriors? And the messengers come back, yes, he's coming. So David says, all right, you know, let's go do something. And so he takes Abishai with him. They go down and basically see how this encampment was. This was very typical of a ancient Near East tradition of army formations. And what would typically do is the bags and whatnot would be the outside of the circle, and then inside, the center of the circle would be the king. And so that's exactly what happened. Saul, for whatever reason, is now sleeping outside, and he places his spear on, which was a tradition during this time, which just represented this is where the king was. And it was like his scepter in that way. And so he's sleeping outside. David enters into this camp, and so pretty dangerous what David and Abishai are doing here. And Abishai again says, oh, you know, let me have the privilege of taking care of our enemy. And again, David says, no, we will not touch God's anointed. And seemingly, David seemed to have learned even more so from even the story of Nabal. Remember, he went down, chapter 4, he went down to go after Nabal and his household. But Abigail interceded for him. And as a result, he stopped. But then God took care of Nabal in his own way. And so he maybe have strengthened from this resolve even more just by saying, it's not in my heart or it's not in my wheelhouse to bring revenge. God's going to take care of that. And so he seemed to have strengthened from the situation with Nabal. And so he says, no, we will not touch God's anointed. God will take care of this, either through battle or through some other means. The Lord is going to rescue David in this way. And so it's a complete trust that he has on God. And, you know, we talked about it a few days ago, the idea of revenge. You could take revenge, and in David's case, this is quite righteous in his way, because he's being wrongly accused and wrongly pursued and wrongly wanted to be killed in this regard by Saul. And so it seemed to be somewhat righteous, but again, he says, it's not up to me to take revenge. This is something that's up to the Lord. And this could probably help us in many of our dealings that we have with people, some dealings that may be quite difficult in our lives. And so, you know, he takes his spear, he calls out Abner, and this valley was famous. There was a lot of battles that happened here, but it was famous for having these mountains, and opposing enemies would stand on different parts of the mountain, and they would speak to each other. And just the way the valley was created, it was kind of like an auditorium. And so sound traveled really well. And so they were able to, back in the days, they negotiated with each other, but without any kind of harm that may come out of close proximity. And so they're away from harm in that way. And so that's basically the situation that's happening here. Now, one thing I want you to just to focus on is verse 12. It says, so David took the spear and the jug of water from beside Saul's head. They went away, but no one saw or knew it, nor did any awake, for they were all asleep, because a sound sleep from the Lord had fallen on them. One of the major themes of 1 Samuel is the sovereign work of God. That all these things happen, intricate details happen, big situations happen, but God is in the middle of everything. And so we come back to recognize that even David, we think, wow, David, what a crafty warrior he was. He was able to sneak into the camp with Abishai, and he must be such a skilled person. And you know what I mean? Like some kind of military genius to do these things. No, he actually wasn't. You know what allowed David to do this? Is because God put the Saul and his men into a deep sleep. And it was the Lord that actually created this whole situation to come about. And this is, I mean, this is one of the primary themes that's woven all through Samuel in this way, is the invisible hand of God that's operating, that's orchestrating, that's doing things. You know, what we may go upon our lives and we think, oh, coincidence. You know, we may think, serendipity or happenstance or any of these things, especially things, you know, that work to our favor. And sure enough, that's not the case whatsoever. It's God's hand in this. And I was reflecting on this because I shared yesterday, we met with Kenneth, and he came to our North Korean prayer meeting that we have. And you guys are invited to it. It's every Tuesday morning, usually in the back room after EMP. And there's a group of people who've been praying for North Korea probably for, gosh, good 6 years or so, you know, every Tuesday. And so, I mean, some of his story, he went into NK for his 18th time. And he had just gotten a new computer, and so he basically had a hard drive. He was going from PC to Mac, and so he had his hard drive, and he was going to transfer it. He had a 21-hour train ride, and so the idea was he was going to, during that time, do it, but he never got around to it, and he forgot the hard drive in his bag. He crossed the border into NK, and you know, obviously the machines and everything, they found the hard drive. And but then they sent him on their way, but he knew that someone's going to come and get him, because they opened up the hard drive, they saw all this stuff, they saw all his missionary activity, all these things, and he got arrested, and he was in interrogation for a month, and then he was sentenced actually at first to death, and then he was sentenced to life imprisonment, and then he spent 2 years at a hard labor camp. He says he was the only inmate. Only inmate, he had 30 guards around him. And so that's basically what he did for 2 years. And I mean, an incredible story. And so he's relaying this story to us. And obviously some of the questions, did you regret it? You know, like, the hard drive. So, the whole hard drive thing. And his response was, and I got much respect for him. His response was, it was the Lord. It was the Lord. And you know, we're kind of like, why? And he says, because it allowed me to reach out to these 30 guards in prison. And then he shares about these experiences that he's had with these guards, that at first, you know, they just called him a number. And he was 103 or was it, what was it, Min? 103 or 108? Yeah, he's prisoner 103. And then later on, they started calling him pastor, you know, and things. And you know, this idea of it's the invisible hand of God. And even sometimes when we encounter difficulties, and he said that there was a shift that happened while he was in prison. And the shift was, he went from praying, says, God, save me, rescue me, get me out of jail. And it changed to, God, use me. You're involved in this somehow. So use me. And that's what happened. And then, you know, shortly after that, he ended up getting released. And it goes back to this invisible hand of God. And even in difficulties, you know, what seemingly may be difficult, like, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, being in a North Korean jail for over 2 years. But even in that, God's sovereign and God has a will, and His will is to bless. Jeremiah 29:11 that we're very familiar with. He says, "I know the plans that I have for you," declares the Lord, "plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And then you'll call upon me, and I will answer you," declares the Lord, "if you seek me with all of your heart." And you see God's hand at work, you know, in Kenneth's life and you know, the way he's doing, the platform that God's given him in this regard. You know, he was, you know, in the afternoon, he was mentioning to me that he had a meeting with Lauren Cunningham, and because he's a YWAMer. And Cunningham says, you know, says, "You know, Kenneth, you probably had more people pray for you in 2 years than a single person over the course of their lifetime." You know, and it really brings such perspective, you know, and it's true. People, you know, our prayer meeting, you know, and sometimes in our meeting here at EMP, we prayed for him. People all over the world praying. He says, "You probably received more prayer in 2 years than most people receive in their whole lifetime." And God doesn't forget us, even in difficulty. It's His invisible hand that's working around us. And what our heart and what our goal is to find out, one, what God's doing, and then submit to His will in that regard. You know, David, we see all throughout, it wasn't David's craftiness. It wasn't David's military skill that kept him alive. It wasn't his acumen or his diplomatic skills or any of those things. It was the grace of God. It was the love of God that led him that way. And even in our own lives, brothers and sisters, I mean, let's be honest. It's not our incredible intellect that got us those jobs. It's not our pedigree or our degrees or all these things that brought favor into our life. It was the grace of God. It was God who had mercy on us. And He allowed us to go to school. He allowed us to be born in families that had more access than other families around the world. He allowed us to be educated and to learn skills. And He allowed us to have breath. And He created us in such a way. He had mercy on us. And that's why when we live this life, we should live this life humbly and not being so full of ourselves and giving so much credit to ourselves. Now, when you're going through difficulty, it works in the same way. God is orchestrating something, but it's for our own good. It's to bring blessing to us. It's really what Jeremiah says, to give you a future and a hope. Too many times we look at short-term gain, but God's into long-term benefit. And that's he's you know, that's, it's always been His heart in that regard. And so whatever the case may be, recognize, right? God's hand is there. God caused the Israelites, Saul's army, to fall into a deep sleep and allow David to do everything he needed to do. It wasn't his skill. It was simply the mercy of God. And whatever we have in our life, whatever we're enjoying, whatever difficulty that we may be going through, it is the mercy of God. He's doing something in it. And our goal is to submit to that will of His. Amen? So let's pray today. If you're taking too much credit for your life, let's ask God to forgive us. In the same way, too, if you're taking too much blame, ask God to forgive us. I find that most Christians fall on both sides of that pendulum. Either we take too much credit or we take too much blame. We're incredibly hard on ourselves. Wherever you fall in that spectrum, let's find that radical middle. And let's plead the blood over us and say, "Lord, teach me to submit to Your will." Let's pray as we sing.
the stars in their place. Lord, it was your voice that commands the mornings and even oceans and their waves bow at your feet. Lord, who am I compared to your glory? Lord, who am I compared to your majesty? As I'm your beloved, your creation, and you love me as I am. You call me chosen for your kingdom, unashamed to call me your own. I'm your beloved, your beloved. Lord, it was you. Stars in their place. Lord, it was your voice that commands the mornings and even oceans and their waves bow at your. Lord, who am I compared to your glory? Oh, Lord. Lord, who am I compared to your majesty? As I'm your your creation, and you love me as I am. You call me chosen for your kingdom, unashamed to call me your own. I'm your beloved, your creation, and you love me as I am. You call me chosen for your kingdom, unashamed to call me your own. I'm your beloved, your creation, and you love me as I am. You call me true.
God will never do anything in our lives, anything a part of His will in our lives that is without the expression of perfect love. Everything God does in our lives is an expression of His perfect love. And so our goal is to submit to that love, to submit to that will. We may not understand it, but if we ask, He'll give us revelation. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray for our hearts to submit to the will of God in our lives, the sovereignty of God. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our community that's battling cancer and going through therapies, chemo. Let's pray for God's healing touch over their lives. Let's pray for God, for them to really submit to God's will over their lives and bring healing. Let's pray for our community that are battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community. They're battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's open door and His provision. Let's go to our mission focus this morning. Let's pray for Singapore. Let's pray for SPSG. Pray for Pastor Sam Kim. Ask for God's continued hand upon him and the board. And pray that they would find a new space soon that God would really provide. Let's pray for Indonesia as well. That's the most populous Muslim country in the world. Let's pray for our ministry spin. Pray for Pastor Selamat. He's actually in Indonesia right now doing research for his doctorate of ministry. And so help him to complete what he needs to get done and get back to Hong Kong safely. He's coming back on Saturday. Now let's pray for SP Seoul. Pray for a church plant. Pray for Eunsung and Janice. And ask God to use them to really build a core team and just get the ball rolling in the ministry out there. Let's just lift up. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministries, IP, Well, Cascade. Pray for his anointing and protection. Pray for the hand of the Lord to really move upon our leaders and our volunteers. Let's pray over our education ministries. I pray for Noah's Ark, Pastor Marin Eling, SPU, Pastor Nate, SPU, Pastor Ricky, and Pastor Andrew. Pray for anointing. Pray for young people to really encounter the Lord. Let's pray just strength for our teachers and our volunteers, that God would continue to use them. And of course, pray for our kids, that they would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's cover our Thursday outreaches, and let's pray for SP Lights and our homie outreach. Let's ask God's hand to be upon them. Pray for divine appointments. Pray for God's protection. Pray for anointing over them as they go out. Let's pray for house churches tonight, the Elements and Olympic. Let's pray for wonderful spirit-led discussion and ministry to one another. Let's pray for our leaders and our hosts, that they would lead with love and with care. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again this morning of just a gentle reminder, God, of how you are intimately involved in the workings and dealings of our lives, God. Lord, help us to be more aware, God, of your presence. Lord, more aware of your actions, God, and that we would be constantly in tune with that invisible hand that leads and directs and guides our lives, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Help us to submit, God, to your will, God, in all matters, in all circumstances. We love you, Father. Thank you for your love for us, Lord. Watch over us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. And tomorrow, it's again a different EMP, but 7 o'clock. And so Kenneth Bay will be speaking. So invite your friends. It should be an incredible time. All right. Bless you guys.